Okay, good morning again, Mayit, everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin daf Mem Vav. We left off in the middle of Mem Hey Amud Beis. We had just started the sugya about what happens if a girl who accepts Kedushin al das aviyah then goes through with the next step and then accepts Nisuin shalol das aviyah, and whether she's considered to be really married or not. And we had learned yesterday that the father has the ability both to give her away in Kedushin and to give her away in Nisuin. And we started yesterday the sugi. We'll probably pick up again from the two dots just because it flows into the rest of the Gemara about what happens and can we assume that the father, can she eat truma in the interim if she's married to a Kohen? Should we assume that the father might object? Does she eat truma notwithstanding that the father might object? So today's Gemara is going to start off by discussing several other cases of where she either is accepting Kedushin or accepting Nisuin without the das of her father, whether her father's there around in the area or not there. We'll see whether that makes a difference. A couple of different cases about that, and some variations on a theme. The Mishnah on Mem Vav Amud Aleph is going to discuss a case again that we started discussing a couple of days ago, which is where a person attempts to be mekadesh a woman by saying hiskachi li b'tamara zu. I want you to be mekudeshes to me with this date, and he gives her a series of dates. And the question is she mekudeshes? And the answer is going to depend on, well, what lashon did he use? Are we viewing each date independently? Does any of the dates have a sheva pruta? What happens if the woman is eating the dates while the guy is giving them to her? Does that then change the calculus? What way does that maybe change the calculus? And that's going to launch the Gemara into a discussion of mekadesh b'milva eina mekudeshes, and is going to discuss what's going to happen in a case where you give kesef kedushin to somebody with regard to whom you know that the kedushin cannot be chal. So for example, if a guy gives some money to his sister obviously is one of the erva, is one of the arayas. If a guy gives money to his sister and says ariat mekudeshesli, so does he intend that we certainly assume that he does not intend that it actually serve as kesef kedushin, because we assume he knows that you can't be mekadesh your sister. So the question is, does he intend to give her a gift? Is he intending to give her a pikadon to watch? Is he intending to give her something to watch for safekeeping that she'll ultimately have to return? We then springboard that into a discussion of what happens if a person is mafresh challah, but instead of being mafresh challah from a dough, he's mafresh challah from raw flour, and he gives that raw flour to a kohen. So that's inappropriate, but the question is, what can the kohen do with it? Can he keep it? Does he have to give it back? Etc., etc. So interesting sugyas today. We're going to pick up from Mem Hey Amud Beis, again by the two dots. So we'll read quickly until we got up yesterday, then we'll slow down the pace a little bit. So says the Gemara like this, again, two dots, middle of Mem Hey Amud Beis. So Niskacha Ladasavi, If a girl accepts kedushin ladas avia, now the father went abroad. He went on a business trip. She then got up and she got married. So what can she do now? Let's say she got married to a kohen. Is she allowed to eat truma? So Amarav ocheles betruma chayavo avia. Yeah, she's becheskas nesua, so she can eat truma until the father comes and makes a macha. In which case, presumably, she won't be married and she'll have to stop eating truma. Ravasi Amar Eino Ochela Shema Yavo Aviyah V'Yimcha. No, she can't eat truma until her father does come back and either consents or rejects the Nisuin, lest her father come back and make a macha, v'nimtzei zara ochel b'truma l'mafreya. And then it's going to turn out that the whole time along she was a zara, because really her marriage to the Kohen didn't take. Really her marriage to the Kohen wasn't valid, and she was eating truma the whole time along. That's why we do not permit her to eat truma, says Ravasi, until her father comes back and we know one way or another whether she was really married. Havi uvda v'choshle rav l'had Ravasi. Turns out that there was a case in Maisa Shahaya, and Rav, who said that during the gap period she's allowed to eat truma, actually went and paskin like Ravasi, who had said that during the gap period she's not allowed to eat truma. So I'm Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak. So says Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchak, Umoda Rav, Rav would agree, she mesa, that if the husband dies in the interim before the father comes back and has the ability either to consent or to object to the nisuin, then ena yarsha, then she is not yoresh, she is not yoresh her husband. Why? Because uki mamona becheskas mare. Because we leave the mamon in cheskas mare. What's cheskas mare? Cheskas mare is his yarsh, and we know definitely are yoresh him. She may be yoresh him, but only if the father consents to the kedushin. Because we don't know whether the father is going to consent to the kedushin, we leave the money becheskas mare in the chazok of the owner, and only his yorshim get to be yoresh her. She does not get to be yoresh him. Okay, so this is where we left off yesterday. So Niskacha Ladas, let's say she gets engaged, she's given over in Kedushin Ladas Aviyah, Venise Shalol Ladas, and she gets married Shalol Ladas Aviyah, but Aviyah Khan, her father's here. So in contrast with the prior case where the father went to Medina Sayyam, now the father's here. She got married, the father's here. Doesn't say anything. So Rav Huna Amar Eino Ocheles. Rav Huna says that she cannot eat truma in the interim. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Ocheles. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, no, she can eat truma in the interim. So Rav Huna Amar Eino Ocheles. Rav Huna says that she can't eat truma. Vafilu l'Rav di Amar Ocheles. And even according to Rav, who in the case of where the father went to Medina Sayyam, said that in the gap period, she is able to eat truma. So Hasamu d'lo is d'lo asilav. Over there, she can eat truma because the father's not there. Aval hacha, but over here where the father's here, he's not in Medina Sayyam, he's right here. Di'isi la'av, haydi ishtik mirtach ratach. The reason that he didn't say anything is because he's so boiling with anger, that's why he didn't say anything. So certainly he objects to the nisuin, and therefore she is not able to eat truma during the gap period, and even Rav would hold that she's not able to eat truma during the gap period. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says, Ochele, she is able to eat truma, and he learns the other way. Vafilu l'Rav Asi d'yamar deino Ocheles, and even Rav Asi, who in the case where the father went to Medina Sayyam, said, Eino Ocheles, she cannot eat truma during the gap period. Hasamu d'shema yavo aviyavimcha. Because over there, we remain afraid, maybe the father will come back, and he's going to object to the nisuin when he comes back. Aval hacha midishasek, however, over here, from the fact that the father was already shosek, from the fact that the father's here and didn't raise any objection when the daughter accepted kedushin, is nuchei es nanachle. Obviously, he's agreeable with the kedushin, and therefore we see that there is this machlokes in the case where she accepts kedushin and the father is there, but the disputants in that machlokes would say that even the mandiyamrim who argue in the other case where the father's not there, each of them would hold like them in the case where the father is there. Third case, Neskacha Shalolados Aviyah Venise Shalolados. Let's say she accepted both things Shalolados Aviyah. This is obviously a rebellious girl. She got engaged Shalolados Aviyah, got married Shalolados Aviyah, Aviyah Khan, and her father is right here. Her father is in town. He's not out of town. He's available. She's just doing everything against his will. So Rav Huna Amar Ocheles, Rav Huna says she nevertheless is able to eat truma until the time, between the time that she gets married and the time that the father weighs in on the marriage, whether he consents to the marriage. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba Amar Eino Ocheles. Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba says that she cannot eat truma. So Amar Ula, so says Ula, Hadu Rav Huna, this Shita of Rav Huna who says that if she gets engaged and married, Shalola Das Avia, is Kechometz Lishinayim Uchoshen Leinayim. We really don't understand the Shita. It's like it burns like vinegar to the teeth and like smoke to the eyes. We just don't understand it. So Hashta, Uma Hasim Dikdushi Deraisa Amit Lo Ocheles. Well, let's see. In the prior cases, all right, whether the father was around in town when she accepted the nisuin or not, at least in both of those cases, in cases 1 and 2, we were dealing with situations where the girl had accepted kedushin ledas aviyah. She at least accepted the kedushin ledas aviyah, and that's why she was mukudeshes on a doraisa level. Yet there was a mandiyamar in each of those cases who said, nevertheless, she still doesn't eat. Why? lest the father come and object to the nisuin. So she had one stage of the relationship that was good on a daraisa level. But still we said that she can't eat lest the father come and object. So hachalo kolshkein. Over here, the girl's got nothing. The girl doesn't have a kedusha midaraisa. She doesn't have a nisuin midaraisa. She didn't do anything aldas the father. The girl herself, the ketana herself, is unable to accept kedushin on a daraisa level. So what's the pshat? Why in the world would Rav Huna say that she's allowed to eat truma? So nirin divrei HaTalmud. Therefore, the Divrei HaTalmud, the Dvarim of Rav Yirmiya, are nireh, they are more mistaber as opposed to the Dvarim of Rav Huna. Tosfos is bothered over here. We don't really seem to find that Rav Yirmiya is a Talmud of Rav Huna. So it's the Lashon of the Gemara is a little perplexing why we would refer to Rav Yirmiya as Nirin Divrei HaTalmud. Tosfos brings a raya that Rav Yirmiya was a Talmud of Rav. And the raya is from the fact that Rav Yirmiya used to refer to Rav as Rav and wouldn't refer to him with the more honorific title of Mar. It's mashma that Rav Yirmiya was a Talmud Muvak of Rav, and because of his close relationship, that's why he was able to get away without calling him Mar. So Tosfos gives the regular answer, the usual answer that you would expect when Tosfos or one of the other Rishonim raised this type of issue, and he says it's got to be that there were two different Rav Yirmiyas. There was obviously a Rav Yirmiya who was a Talmud Muvak of a Talmud Chaver of Rav, and there also must have been a Rav Yirmiya who was a Talmud of Rav Huna, and therefore the wording of the Gemara is appropriate when it says Nirin Divrei HaTalmud. But in any event, so we see Ula over here says that the Divrei Rav Yirmiya are Nira, that she can't eat Truma because she doesn't have even a Kedusha Midaraisa. She doesn't have anything. So I'm a Rava, so my time is the Rav Huna. So Taka, what's the reason for Rav Huna over here? The girl accepted Kedushin Shalola Dasaviyah, accepted Nisuin Shalola Dasaviyah. She doesn't have anything on a Daraisa level. What's the reason for Rav Huna? Hol Vanasa Bamaisa Yisoma Bechaya Av. Why? Because she's acting, she's conducting herself like a Yisoma. She's conducting herself like a Yisoma L'chaye Ha'av. So, and Rashi says, what does this mean? Either he was Mafgir his Schus to give her away in marriage, or shtika koda, and that's why she was like a yisoma b'chayav. It's like her father relinquished all authority to her because he was shoseik and therefore ratified whatever act she did. The Rishonim are bothered that we understand, according to the second explanation of Rashi, that shtika koda, why she's able to eat truma, because it turns out that even though she got engaged without the consent of the father, got married without the consent of the father, if we're assuming shtika koda, then ultimately the father ratifies the kedushin and the nisuin, and that's why she is married on a deraisa level, so she's allowed to eat truma. But according to the first explanation of Rashi, that Yisoma B'chaya Av means that the Av was mafkir all rights that he has to accept Kedushin on her behalf. So what we're left with, or what we would seem to be left with, is a situation where nobody is accepting Kedushin Midaraisa on behalf of the daughter. The daughter can't because she's a Ketana. The father can't because he was mafkir his rights. He was mafkir his rights to do so. He relinquished his rights to accept Kedushin on her behalf. And if that's the case, how in the world is she allowed to eat truma? Because she should only be able to eat truma if she's married on a daraisa level. So what's going on? What do we mean when we say she's married? How can she ever affect a kedushin and a nisuin on a daraisa level? So the Pnei Yeshua explains that according to Rashi, you'll have to say that the kedushin is valid only. That the kedushin is valid only midrabanan. Seina chanami. She's not married midaraisa. In other words, if it were to come to a situation, can the Baal be metameter if the Baal's a Kohen? The answer is no, he wouldn't be able to be metameter because in a Chanami, until she's a Nara, there is no way to affect Kedushin, there is no way to affect Kedushin Mida Oraisa. So until she grows older. You're going to ask, how could she eat Truma? I thought the Zora is not allowed to eat Truma. Well, we saw yesterday in Tosfos already, no, Mida Oraisa, she is allowed to eat Truma. Mida Oraisa, she's allowed to eat Truma. It's only Midrabanan that she's not allowed to eat Truma. But you have to fetch out some sort of explanation as to how in the world she's married, according to the first pshat of Rashi, that Istam relinquishes rights, because if he relinquishes his rights, it's a big question, how can she ever transact this relationship on a deraisa level? More mustaber like the second way, that the fact that he's there throughout the whole thing, and then he's quiet, it means that he consents. Okay, says the Gemara of Eitur, three lines down, Mem Vav Amid Aleph. Say, Itmar. Ktana sheneskatcha shalola dasavia. If a ktana gets engaged, a ktana accepts kedushin shalola dasavia. Amar Rav, so says Rav, bein hi ubein avia yicholon la'akev. Either she or her father can be ma'akev. So what does this mean? So says Rashi, so yicholon la'akev, ho lebishas kabbalah lo nisratzo av, because at the time of Kabbalah, the father was not nisratzeh, the father did not consent to the kedushin. Im basa lachzar kodem she yisratzo av, if she wants to be chozer on her acceptance of the kedushin before the father can ratify it, chozeres, then she can so recant it. V'lo mahanya su ritzayav, and after she recants, after she retracts her acceptance of the kedushin, the consent of the father can no longer work. So again, Rashi very clearly is talking about a case where the woman accepts kedushin without the consent of her father. And before the father has the ability to come and take action, she recants, she retracts her acceptance of the kedushin. Tosfos doesn't learn like that. Tosfos over here learns that her revocation can work even after, her revocation can work even after the father consents to the kedushin. Why? So Tosfos explains, how does this work? So Tosfos explains that the whole reason that the father can accept the kedushin is because it's a schus for him to accept the kedushin on behalf of his daughter. Aye, but if his daughter is objecting to the kedushin, if his daughter wants to retract her consent to the kedushin, then it becomes not a schus, but it becomes a chov. And therefore, we say that his whole acceptance, his whole ratification of the kedushin was under false pretenses, because he thought he was doing something that his daughter wanted. It turns out he was doing something that his daughter never wanted. Therefore, we're going to invalidate his consent. So Machlokas Rashi Tosfos over here, when we say Yechol Ma'akev, are we referring to a situation where she retracted her acceptance of the kedushin only before the father consented, like Rashi? Or are we dealing even with a case where she retracted her consent to the kedushin after the father consented, which is the way Tosfos holds? But anyway, she or her father can retract. That's Rav Shita. Rav Asi amar avia velohi. Rav Asi says, no, she already accepted the kedushin, therefore she can no longer retract. Only her father can reject the kedushin. She no longer can reject the kedushin. Seisvi Rav Huna lo Rav Asi. So Rav Huna asked him Rav Asi, so it says in the pasuk, "Imain yimain avia." If the father might protest, say, "Ain li elo avia." I only understand that the father can protest. Say, "Ain li elo avia." He asks, "What mean I?" And how do we know that she herself can protest? Tamalomer imain yimain mikol makom, because we learn ma'ain yimain, it's a riboy. Anybody could protest, either the father or the daughter. So that's how we know that the father could be, even the daughter could be ma'akev on the kedushin taking effect. So Amalu Rav, lo tez lo basar ifcha. So don't follow this incorrect proof. Why? Yachol l'shnuye, because you could answer, yachol l'shnuye l'chu, because you could answer, kagon shapita shalol l'shamishas. Maybe we're talking about a case, not of kedushin at all. We're talking about a case where somebody seduced this girl, shalola shemishas, and we're talking about who can object to the seducer. Who can object to the seducer, either the father or the daughter? But we're not talking about a case of kedushin at all. So says the Gemara, pita shalola shemishas. Kraboy, you need a pasuk to tell me that people can object to kedushin with somebody who seduced a girl shalola shamishas? There was never an intent on behalf of anybody to actually be mekadesh the woman. So why in the world do I need a pasuk to teach me that people can object to kedushin in a situation where a guy didn't act shalola shem kedushin? Doesn't make any sense. Some Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Lomer shemeshalim knas kemefuta. No, what the pasuk is telling us is that we know that if a person seduces a girl, then he has to pay a knas to the father of the girl. And so what we're saying is the obligation of this guy to pay the knas can be triggered either if the father objects or if the daughter objects. That's what the pasuk is telling me. Not that they object to the kedushin, that any of the objection of either of these parties could trigger the obligation of the mafuta to pay the knas. Summer of Yosef, Iachi, if that's the case, Hainu de Tanina, Mohar Yimarenu Lo Liisha, that the father could give her away to the seducer as a wife, Shetzricha Imenu Kedushin, Vim Pita Lashomisha's Kedushin Lamali. So another raya that says the Gemara, raya that the initial seduction was Shalola Shem Kedushin, is because we say that the father retains his ability to give the daughter away in Kedushin. Now, if the original seduction was Lashem Kedushin, why would we need a separate Kedushin? Elamai, the original seduction was not l'shem kedushin. Sarmalei Abaye, it's richa kedushin l'das avia, that we need a kedushin l'das avia. So Abaye says no. Perhaps what it means is that Mari Moreno. Perhaps what it means is that really maybe the original pitui was l'shem kedushin. Why does it then say Mari Moreno? Because the original pitui, even if it was l'shem kedushin on behalf of the mafuta, was certainly not done with the consent of the father. The father did not consent to the daughter being seduced. So therefore, maybe what the pasuk means is that he can then give her he has the ability to give her away l'shem kedushin. L'shem kedushin l'daito after the fact. So according to the conclusion of the Gemara, it's an interesting situation here. If the girl is seduced, then she is able to trigger the payment of the knas, even though the father ultimately retains the right to give her away in kedushin after the fact. She doesn't assume control over her own destiny. What she could do is she could trigger the payment of the knas. Even after the payment of the knas, the right to give her away in actual kedushin, that right remains exclusively with the father. Okay. Says the next Mishnah. We now start in a new sugya. So Haomer Leisha, if a person says to a woman, Hiskachi li b'tamara zu, become a kodeshes to me with this date. Hiskachi li b'zu, and he says the lashon of hiskachi every single time in between each tamar. We already learned in the Gemara yesterday. This is the shita of Rav Shimon, who says that when a person says hiskachi, he intends to break his acts into separate and individual actions. Sembiyesh ba'achas mem shava pruta. If any one of the dates is worth a shava pruta mikudeshes, then the girl is mikudeshes v'im lav. And if none of the dates alone is worth a shava pruta, ain't a mikudeshes, then she is not mikudeshes. Why? Because he uses the lashon of hiskachi, which breaks each of his acts into individual acts. So bazu bazu bazu. If the guy says bazu bazu bazu, that he says bazu as he gives her each succeeding date. That's the way Rashi says. In other words, he gives her a date bazu, and then he gives her another one, ubazoo. Then he gives her another one, ubazoo. Tosva says no. What he says is bazoo, 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 and then he just gives her seven dates, or whatever it is. But in any event, he doesn't say the lashon of hiskachi in between each date. So he doesn't break up his actions. Semyeshavapruta bechulan, if they all in the aggregate are worth a shavapruta mikudeshes, then lav, and if they're not in the aggregate worth a shavapruta, then ain't a mikudeshes, then she's not mikudeshes. Haiso cheles rishona rishona, if as he's giving her the dates, she's eating them one by one, ain't a mikudeshes, then she's not mikudeshes, ad shei be'achas mehen shavapruta, unless one of the dates is worth a shava pruta. The Gemara is going to discuss what case this clause of the Mishnah goes on. So let's start the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Mantana hiskachi hiskachi. Who's the Mandermer who says hiskachi hiskachi? Amar Rabba Rav Shimoni. It's Rav Shimon. De'amar achi amar shvu l'chal echad ve'echad. So we saw this yesterday, but very briefly, that if a person is holding a pikadon, and five people ask for the return of the pikadon, and he says he doesn't have it. So the question is, how many shvuas is, and he takes a shvua that he has, and he takes a shvua that he doesn't have the pikadon. So how many karbonos asham is the guy chayev on account of this shvua? Again, he was tovea by five, he was a nitva by five people. Five people went and they claimed that the guy had his pikadon. He said, I swear to you, I don't have it. The question is, how many karbonos asham is he liable for? And Rav Shimon says he's only liable separate karbonos if he says the lashon of shvua to each person. That's the only way to break up an act. So too over here, because the guy is saying hiskachi in between the giving over of each date, that's the lashon that's used when he intends to break up his acts into individual acts. So, says the Gemara Vayter. So, bezu, and yesh bekulan shavar pruta. So now the Gemara is going to focus on this last clause of the Mishnah, which said that if she's eating the dates one by one, then she is not mikudeshes unless one of the dates is worth a shavar pruta. So says the Gemara Ahaya. Which case is the Gemara going? Which case is this Mishnah going on? See lemar reisha. If it's going on the reisha, so my ari achelas afilu menachas nami da hiskachu li bezu kamar. So it doesn't make sense that it's going on the reisha, because in the reisha we were talking about a case where the guy is saying hiskachu li bezu. We said that one of the dates has to have a shavar pruta, and if one of the dates doesn't have a shavar pruta, he's out of luck. So in the last case, what are you telling me? That if she's eating the dates one by one, then one of the dates has to have a shavar pruta? You already taught me in the reisha that one of the dates has to have a shavar pruta. In any case, even if she's not eating them, so that doesn't make sense. So ela asefa. Really, it's going on the seifa. Vafilu bakamaisa. And what it means is that it's going on the seifa, that if that in the seifa we had said that if he says bazoo, 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 then in the aggregate they have to have a shavar pruta. But what the Mishnah is now saying, that if she's eating the dates while he's giving them to her, then those dates are no longer in existence at the time. And therefore, those dates are no longer in existence at the time that he's done giving her all the dates. So we can no longer look at the aggregate value of the dates. There has to be one date, a single date, that's worth a shavar pruta. So says the Gemara, vafilu vakamaisa, and even the first dates can be worth a shavar pruta. Even if any of the first dates is worth a shavar pruta, then it's going to be a good kedushin vamilveh. But it's considered to be a milveh. Why is it considered to be a milveh? It's considered to be a milveh because the guy is still trying to transact the kedushin when he's giving her the first dates. And therefore, since he's still acting in the act of kedushin, the first dates that he gives her look more like a pikadon than anything else, because she doesn't have a right to keep the dates until we know what he's doing with the dates. So long as he's still giving them to her, in the process of giving them to her, maybe he's never going to go through with the kedushin. Maybe they're not going to be worth a shavar pruta in the aggregate. You don't know. So long as he's continuing to give her the dates, it's only a milveh, and the Gemara assumes over here that mekadesh b'milveh ainu mekudeshes. So how could it be that the seifa of the Mishnah would tell me, how could it be that the last clause of the Mishnah would tell me that if she's eating the dates on the kum, as he's giving them to her, that if one of the dates is worth a shavar pruta, then she's mekudeshes? How could she be mekudeshes with one of the first dates? That's considered to be a milveh. And a makadish b'milve ainu mekudeshes. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan harei shulchan v'harei basar v'harei sakin vein lanu lechol. So this is a figure of speech. What we have is the table is all set beautifully, and we don't have anything to eat. Another fancy way of saying, we don't know how to interpret this Mishnah. We don't know what clause this last part of the Mishnah is going on. So Rav Shmuel d'Amri Tavayu, Rav Shmuel both say li'olam ha-reisha. Really, it's going on the reisha. So again, the reisha is the case where he said hiskachi li bizu, because he used the lashon of hiskachi before each nesina. We had said that there has to be a shavar pruta's worth in one of the dates. If so, she's engaged. If not, she's not engaged. Now the last part of the Mishnah is going to tell me that if he gives her a bunch of dates and she's eating them one by one, there has to be a shavar pruta's worth in one of the dates. So says the Gemara, so why would that be the case? Why would we need to tell me this halacha? So Rav Shmuel, Darmi Tavai, Liolam HaReisha, V'lomi Boi Kamar, Lomi Boi Menachas, Lomi Boi, where the dates are still in existence, Zika Shavar Pruta in Ilo Lo, Ocheles, Hol Mekarve, Aniyasa, Emer Gomer HaMakne Nafsha, where she's eating the dates as she goes, maybe we would think that she will have in mind to give herself over in kedushin, even if none of the dates is worth a shavar pruta individually, because she is getting hana from the dates as the fellow is transacting the kedushin. Kamash Malan, we don't say that. Kamash Malan, we don't say that, and we still require one of the dates to have a shavar pruta's worth. Ravami Amar Liola Masefa. Ravami says, really, it's going on the Seifa. Umay Achi Ba'achas Mem Shavar Pruta. And what does it mean until? So again, the Seifa is the one where he says, Eskachali Bazoo, 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 Bazoo. We said that if in the aggregate they're worth a Shavar Pruta, then Mekudeshes. we don't need only one of them to eat, to be worth a shavar pruta. But then we said that if she's eating the dates as he gives them to her, then we need that one of them is worth a shavar pruta. Umay ache ba'achas mem shavar pruta. And what does it mean, ache ba'achas mem shavar pruta? Ache ba'achrona shavar pruta. It's got to be that the last one has to be a shavar pruta. Why can't it be the first ones? Because we just saw in the Gemara, the first ones are considered to be a milveh, or they're a pikadon. We don't know that she's able to keep it until he's done with the transaction. Bekadesh b'milveh ein mekudeshes. Therefore, when we say at the end of the Mishnah that one of the dates has got to be worth a shavar pruta, what the Mishnah really means to say is that the last date has to be worth a shavar pruta. Samarava, shmamina midarabi amitlas. We learn three halachas from Ravami. Shmamina mekadesh b'milveh ein mekudeshes. First thing we learn that is Mekadesh b'milveh ina mekadeshes, u'shma mina Mekadesh b'milveh pruta daita pruta. And we also learn that if somebody is Mekadesh with a loan and a supplemental pruta, then her das to accept kedushin is on the pruta. How do we know that? Because over here the guy gave her a series of dates. The dates, the first dates that she ate as he was giving them, we had said, are a milveh. But if the last date, which is still in existence, is worth a shavar pruta, then she's mekadeshes because mekadesh b'milveh pruta daito apruta, and v'shma mina mos bialma chozrin. And what we say, and what we see as well, is that mos bialma stam money is chozrin. So what is it? What does it mean? What stam mos bialma chozrin means that if a person is giving the woman these dates and she's eating the dates, from the fact that we're viewing them as a milveh and not, it's evident that we're viewing them as a milveh and not as a matana. And because they're a milveh, we would say a mekadesh b'milveh ein mekadeshes. Because if they were a matana to her, then you could be mekadesh a woman by giving her a gift. It's like giving her anything else. But from the fact that we see that you can't be mekadesh the woman with the first dates, why? Because they're a milveh. It's mashma that mos bial mechozrin, that if you give away money to somebody and we're unsure in what capacity or what your intentions were in giving the money, stam, you have to give back the money. And that's what the Gemara is going to get into right now. So itmar, ha-mekadesh achoso, if a person attempts to be mekadesh his sister, Rav amar mos chozrin, Rav says that she has to return the money, Shmuel amar mos matana. Shmuel says, no, he intended to give his sister a gift. Rav amar mos chozrin, Rav says she has to return the money, adam yadeh she'en kedushin tofsim ba'achoso. A person knows that he cannot be mekadesh his sister, v'gamar v'nasan l'shem pikadon, so he gave it to her l'shem pikadon. So why is the guy doing this really bizarre thing, giving his sister Kesef Kedushin? The guy's like a creep. Why doesn't he just, if he wants to give it to her as a pikadon, why doesn't he give it to her as a pikadon and say, hey, I'm giving you a pikadon? Why? Savar lo makabla, because he's afraid that she's not going to accept it. Therefore, he gives it to her under some false pretense that he's giving it to her l'shem kedushin, but really he knows it's not l'shem kedushin because he knows he can't be Mekadesh's sister. She's an arayas. She's an ervatim. So Shmuel savar mos matana. Shmuel says that he intends for the money to be a gift. So adam yadei shein kedushin tofsim b'achoso. Again, a person knows that the kedushin is definitely not toface with his sister. V'gomer v'nosin l'shem matana. And he's gomer, and he gives the money l'shem matana, and that's his ruse, saying that it's l'shem kedushin is his ruse to give his sister a matana. Says the Gemara, let him be forthright. V'nemel l'shem matana. Why doesn't he just say that he's going to give it to her l'shem matana? So says the Gemara, savar ksifale milsa, because he's afraid that she's going to be embarrassed. She's going to be embarrassed to take a matana from him. Therefore, she gives it to him under this ruse, under the guise of kesef kedushin. Tosva says that this case of whether Mekadesh Achoso is most pikadon or is most matana, Tosva says that this machlokas is unrelated to the concept of most bial mechozrin that we were introduced to on top of the Yamad. All right, there we were uncertain whether the kedushin would take effect. And because again, the case was that he was giving dates one by one, and she was eating them one by one, and we didn't know at the time whether any of the individual dates would have a shavar pruta. So at the time he was giving her the first dates, we didn't know what was going to happen over here. So we were mesupik what was going to happen. But when one is mekadesh his sister, he knows the kedushin won't take effect, and he's giving her the money as kesef kedushin only as a pretense. Therefore, even if you say even if you say Mos Bialma Chozrin, even if you say generally speaking Mos Bialma have to be given back to the owner, you could still say in the case of Mekadesh Achoso that Mos Matana, because there's a difference between the halacha where we're in doubt and the halacha where I know that something doesn't take effect legally and I'm giving it anyway. The fact that I'm giving it anyway may be because I want her to keep it as a gift. So Tosafot says, this machlokas here, Rav and Shmuel, is independent of this idea of Mos Bialma Chozrin. So says Tosfos. Anyway, further in the Gemara, so Mos of Ravina. So Ravina asks the Kasha, Mafresh Chaloso Kemach. If a person is Mafresh his Chala out of raw flour instead of out of dough. So you're supposed to take Chala of dough. He takes Chala out of raw flour. Eino Chala. It's not Chala. It's not valid. The Gezel Biyad Kohen. And it's Gezel in the hands. And it's Gezel in the hands of the Kohen. And in other words, the Kohen is only allowed to keep Chala, which is considered to be proper Reishis Ariso Seichem. And Reishis Ariso Seichem is only finished dough. It's not raw flour. Says the Gemara, Vamai Gezel Biyad Kohen. Why is it Gezel Biyad Kohen? Nema Adam Yedei Hashem Afrishin Chala Kemach. Let's say the person knows that he can't be Mafresh Chala out of raw flour. Menasa L'Shematana. Elamai, the guy went anyway and gave the Kohen Chala out of raw flour. He must have done so because he intended to give the Kohen a gift. So says the Gemara, Shani Yosam Denafik Chorvaminei. You're right. Really, objectively and ideally, we would say he intended to give it to the Kohen as a gift, but we're afraid that a Chorv is going to come out of this situation. Why? Because Zimin and this little Kohen, Pachas Mechamesh Ravam Kemach, it could be that sometimes the Kohen might have raw flour of less than a shear challah's worth. He might have less than 5/4 kavs. The shear of challah is 1 1/4 kav of kemach. V'hai olish le bahadei adadi. And he might take the raw flour in less than a shear challah that he has, together with this raw flour that he thinks is already Chala genomen, he thinks that's already Chala has been taken from it. V'ksavar niskana isaso, and he's going to think that his dough is automatically taken care of, that Chala was automatically given from the dough, because he thinks he's combining certain flour from which Chala has not been taken with certain flour from which Chala has been taken. And once he brings up the dough to the shear Chala, he's not going to then again go and be mafresh Chala. Vasi lemichli Bativla, and he's going to eat it, and he's going to eat it. He's going to eat it at Tevel. So that's why we're afraid, and that's why we forced the Kohen to give back the flour. Says the Gemara, that makes no sense, because you just told me the Yisrael gives the challah of flour to the Kohen. The Kohen has to give it back, and we said in the Gemara, why does the Kohen have to give it back? Oh, everybody knows that you can't be mafresh challah out of raw flour. Maybe he intended to give it as a matana. So says the Gemara, v'amrit adam yodei shem afrish challah so kemach. So you already told me that a person knows that you can't be mafresh challah out of kemach. So if everybody knows that you can't be mafresh challah out of kemach, why are we afraid that the Kohen is going to try to combine this raw flour with other raw flour and think that he could get away without giving challah? You just told me that everybody knows that you're not allowed to be mafresh challah with raw flour. Yodeina v'ena yodea. Nah, they don't really know. They sort of know. What does that mean? Yodea shei mafresh challah kemach. Everybody knows that you can't be mafresh challah out of kemach. V'ena yodea disavar. The Savar, and they won't know the reason. The Savar, Tamayamai Mishum Tircha the Kohen. They might think, everybody might think, the reason that you're not allowed to be Mafresh Challah out of raw flour is because we don't want to be Matriach the Kohen to have to bake it. Vitircha the Kohen, Achilte, Vitave Truma, and Vitircha the Kohen, Achilte. And over here, he might think that the Kohen was Mochel on the Tircha, and therefore he might think that over here, even though usually you're right, everybody knows that you can't be mafresh challah out of raw flour, here we might think that it worked to be mafresh challah out of raw flour. So says the Gemara Vitavi Truma, but still, why does the Kohen have to give it back? Let him just keep it as Truma. The Ritva says, what Truma? We're talking about challah here. So the Ritva says, it doesn't mean that this challah, that this flour should become Truma. What it means is, just like the Kohen is allowed to keep Truma, so too he should be allowed to keep this flour, but he should be aware that he has to be mafresh challah separately from it. And he should not eat it until he takes challah from another place. Why is it considered to be Gezel Biyad Kohen? Let's just tell the Kohen, hey buddy, you have to be mafresh challah in order for you to eat this dough. So Milo Tanan, did we not learn Mina nakav al she'ina nakav, if a person gives truma from an otzis nakav, an otzis which has a hole in it, a flower pot that has a hole in it, so the dirt is connected to the ground, on an otzis she'ina nakav, on a flower pot, on stuff in a flower pot where there is no hole, so the dirt is not connected to the ground, truma, it's truma, v'lotochal at she'totela truma ma'isra mokam acher, it's truma, but you can't eat it until you take truma on it from, until you take truma on it from somewhere else. So what's the reason for this? The reason for this is because the produce in the otzitz nakav is chayiv in truma midaraisa, while the produce in the otzitz she'ena nakav is chayiv only in truma derabanan. And here what he does is he says that the produce that is tevel on a deraisa level in the otzitz nakav should be truma for the produce that's tevel only on a derabanan level on the otzitz she'ena nakav. And we nevertheless permit the coin to keep it, so long as he's alerted to the fact that he must designate separate truma meiser on the produce, either from the produce itself or from other produce that's chayiv on a deraisa level. So why do we let the coin keep this? Says the Gemara, betray money tzos, becham money lo tzos. Because if it's truma from two different vessels, from two different utensils, it's much easier for him to be aware of the fact that you're going to have to be mafresh mimakam acher. Mashen can hear, it's the same flour, and therefore we're afraid he's not going to know. Yibosem aliyolam koin matzitzayis. Or alternatively, really, the coin will know. But we're afraid that the balabayis is going to think flour was masukun. Vamrit other midah shema fresh challah kemach. I thought you told me that everybody knows that you're not allowed to be mafresh challah from raw flour. Yedeh veini yedeh yedeh neshena mafresh challah kemach. Veini yedeh the suffer time of my mishum tircha the kohen kibli alayu. That he might think the reason that you're not allowed to usually be mafresh challah like this is because we're afraid of tircha the kohen. Here the guy was mochel kamash malon. Still you're not allowed to be mafresh challah kemach. Vatavi truma v'yachzer v'yitrom. So let it be like truma v'yachzer. So let him just take truma again. So milotnan, didn't we learn mishena nakav ala nakav truma v'yachzer v'yitrom? Didn't we learn that if you give truma from ena nakav on truma that from an otzitz nakav, which is chayiv midaraisa, that it's truma, but you have to give again from something that's chayiv on truma midaraisa? Hokimna betray money tois becham money lotzois. That we already said that where it's two vessels, he's going to appreciate the distinction. When it's one vessel, he's not going to appreciate the distinction. So we're out of time, so we'll pick up from here, God willing, tomorrow, sort of in the middle of the sugya, but we'll pick up from here tomorrow.